This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome to Untamed Blossoms, the podcast where we celebrate the wild and beautiful journey of womanhood. We're here to create a space where women can connect, inspire, and uplift each other. Untamed Blossoms is more than just a podcast. It's a movement. It's a gathering of strong, fierce women who are breaking free from society's expectations.
Our mission is to deep dive into the stories of incredible women who have embraced their authenticity, even in the face of adversity. We believe by sharing these stories, we can inspire others to do the same. Join us as we sit down with women from all walks of life who have faced their own struggles and emerged as the most authentic versions of themselves. From entrepreneurs to artists, activists to adventurers, we'll explore their triumphs and tribulations. Together, we'll navigate the challenges of self-discovery, self-acceptance, and self-love.
But Untamed Blossoms is more than just conversations. We're a community that gathers for events, immerses ourselves in the beauty of nature, and supports one another in our personal and professional growth. So whether you're seeking inspiration, looking for a supportive sisterhood, or simply want to hear incredible stories of women blazing their own trails, Untamed Blossoms is here for you. Together, let's embrace our wildness, bloom unapologetically, and rewrite the rules. Welcome to Untamed Blossoms.
Welcome to Untamed Blossoms. We're grateful you're here. I'm your host, Amanda Riley.
And I'm Christy Riley. Welcome to the pod. We're out of retrograde season.
Really? I thought we had a few more days. No.
I thought it was over on the... No, you're right.
Just a few more, like a couple more. Like two
we're coming maybe. Out of it.
Yeah,
we're
it's not too bad.
Yeah.
You know, I was so good this whole time. And I feel like in the last, like, let's say 3 days, I'm like, oh...
Now it's hitting you,
now,
and I feel like it's letting up. Isn't that funny?
I feel like you did this to me in some ways. I was like, oh, I'm not having any communication issues. Like, nothing's, like, I'm feeling, like, fine. And then all of a sudden, I was like, oh, let me just, like, make my life hard and let's have a lot of communication issues. And let's just, I don't know, like, the last couple of days, I've just been spiraling into... This, what you're looking at today, chaos.
That's hysterical.
Yeah, it's good. You know, it's fine.
No, I felt a slowdown. I felt the energy shift for me a few days ago. So
yeah.
It's not gone for sure.
Right.
You saw that yesterday.
Yeah.
I was a little edgy yesterday, folks. I'm on a roller coaster ride. So, you know, it's what it is. The boat helped. The boat day helped.
The boat was awesome. Being in the sun, in the water. On water. Just
as usual for us. Being out in nature. Cures everything.
Yeah.
Makes it all better.
And we have a very exciting day today, too.
Oh, big Untamed Blossoms day.
Big Untamed Blossoms. We're
big
going to.
Big things coming, y'all.
I can't tell you everything just yet. But what I will tell you is that I feel like we're going to get some stuff buttoned up for our merchandise this week.
Yes.
We are going to put tickets on sale today.
Today, our first event, y'all, September 29th.
Yep. And today's the 26th, so you'll be listening to this in a few weeks. So at that time, hopefully you already have your ticket. But if you are listening, tickets are available now. And so, yeah, that's going to get all sorted, and we are going to go do some other fun things.
We get keys to the new house tomorrow, the farm tomorrow. Maybe unless there's another communication glitch. Let's hope not.
Hopefully not.
But yeah, I'm secretly manifesting that they're done today, but we'll see. Yeah. But officially tomorrow. We get keys and renovation start. And if all goes well, we'll have our first event in that space, which would be great. So
totally.
Yeah.
And hopefully move our recording studio.
There. Yeah. Out on the farm.
Yep.
On Tame Blossoms Farm.
Very cool.
My husband does not know it's going to be called that yet. He's probably learning that right now as he's listening to this.
No better time than the now.
I love it.
Well, today we're going to talk about finding joy.
We've had some heavy back-to-back episodes, you know, and I felt like we needed to have a little levity, something a little more positive.
Yeah.
And I think that I hope that this is something that we incorporate into our events and our gatherings, is that lifting each other up and finding ways to be joyful and laughing and positive. I think we need it more than ever currently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say it's really been interesting to see my version of like joy and happiness change so much. I have been just assessing like how I find joy.
Yeah.
Right. Like I think I confused fun and joy for a very long time.
Yeah.
It's because I get bored easy. I know that.
Yes.
But everything has to be so, so fun for me. That was a huge drinking culture thing, though.
Right.
I wanted everyone to have fun. If anyone did anything with me, I was asking, are you having fun the whole time? Which is so annoying. So if you were a victim of that phase of my life,
so sorry.
However, now moving into almost 2 years of sobriety, joy is a very different thing for me.
Right.
I find so much joy going to the gym every morning. Like, oh, girl, you know, I love it. I love it. I feel so much joy in it. I feel probably my most happy every day in the gym.
Yeah.
My most happy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't, joy is shifted from like having the most fun you can ever have into just genuinely being content where I am and doing something that fills my cup. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
What do you feel like the definition of joy is for you?
I think you are correct. I think that a lot of people confuse those two things, right? That if you can't be joyful unless you're doing something really fun, right?
Right.
Like you're in action, and I think that that's a slippery slope. You know, it's not only sometimes that can be real expensive if you're doing activities that you have to pay for that are super fun. You know, joyful is, and maybe this is part of my age, but is the simple things. It's finding joy in the everyday.
Mm-hmm.
What do I find joyful in the everyday? That's outside of fun, right?
Totally. Like
that's totally outside of fun. And I think that that's been a journey for me as well. It used to be that fun was out partying and drinking and having a good time or having fun. Then it morphed into, I have kids, so we had people over and we would drink. It was still centered around drinking. And without consuming as much alcohol these days, I can't say that I'm 100% sober because occasionally I will have an alcoholic beverage, but it's very rare that I do, once every month, maybe.
Right.
And I only have one because that I'm trash at that point. But it's that process of what do you find joyful minus those, because I really wasn't. We were having fun, but again, we talked about that during our sobriety episode, is there's that disconnect, right? That you're not really having fun with people. You're, you know, it's an altered state, right? So what am I joyful about? And that's been a real journey of just paying attention to what fills my heart up.
Totally.
What do I find, you know, what makes me a better person? You know, what do I do for myself that really is like, oh, I love this.
Yeah.
I love this for me, or I love this for who I'm doing it for. It just brings me joy, that just for the sake of being and doing it. Not because it's super fun.
Totally.
Right.
I also think joy is more of an inside job than fun. And I realized that. So Friday I went to a rave.
Right.
I had a blast. But one thing I've noticed and what has changed for me is it's an internal thing. Like my first instinct when we got there, I went with a couple of friends. My first instinct was make sure everyone's having fun and a good time. Like immediately I started worrying about that. Like someone brought to my attention that it was a very young crowd that was there. And obviously I'm 38. And yeah, there were totally a lot of really young people there. Yeah. It was a brat rave. Like, yeah. Yes, I am an elder millennial. I'm, you know, teetering on the range of this is wild.
It's what I love. One of the things I love about you, though, is you have no concept that you are of a different age of most of the people there. It's on multiple occasions this has happened, and I've been with Amanda, and I will even be like, wow, we were a lot older than everybody there. She's like, really?
I had no idea.
Is that true? And then, like, she had no, and I love that about you because you don't let that affect the time you're having, which is awesome.
I'm hyper aware that there's not an infinite amount of time to be alive, I think.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is supposed to be a light episode, but I will say having so many people so close to me die when I was so young, like my grandma, my uncles, and just some like really close friends that have passed away. Like, I just am more worried about time passing than what I should be doing based upon my age. Because I'm like, damn, I don't know how long I'll have left.
I love that.
Who can say?
Yeah.
I don't care.
Right.
I do not care.
Right.
That has changed a lot. I used to care so much. That's why I drank so much, because I cared so much. Now, it's crazy the kind of like allowance sobriety gives you of just being like, well, I'm going to be 100% myself, because also most of these people won't remember a single thing anyway, and I will.
Yeah.
So I found myself at this rave and I'm in front of the speaker. And again, right when I first got there, I was like, oh God, I hope everyone has fun. Oh, I didn't realize this was so young. Like one of my friends said, what do you think the split's going to be here of age? And I was like, oh, 50-50. And like 10 minutes later, I was like, 10-90, you know, like, it just didn't occur to me when I thought about going to this, like that would be a thing. Anyway, I like literally let the music fill my whole body. And it was a female DJ and it was just such a vibe. And I had the best time.
Yeah.
And I don't know if everyone I was with experienced the exact same like joy feelings, but at the end of the day, that's not my responsibility.
Correct.
And that's okay. And I'm not responsible for others' joy. And that was a huge realization of show up, be authentic.
Yeah.
Be authentically you. The more you try to control your situation, the less joy you're going to have. And the only thing you're in control of is your own joy.
Right. And then you can't really be joyful for other people. I think that energy is contagious, right? And so
totally.
If you feel joyful and your cup is full and you interact with people, we've talked about this in human design, our energy source is so huge, you and I, that we attract a lot of people
because totally.
Of our energy level. So, you know, that's important. It's important to fill our own cup to make others around us feel that energy too. Right?
Yeah.
And it elevates everyone.
Totally.
It elevates everyone. And it has the opposite effect too. If we're not up, everybody
wants to say something about it.
Everybody notices. Which is hard. It's hard to be that person then if you're having an off day. But I also just remind everybody that I'm allowed.
Yeah.
I'm allowed not to be up every day. I'm allowed.
Totally.
And during these days is when I need those people around me that I elevate the most.
Yeah.
Right? Like these are the days I need you the most. So reminding my husband of that too has been great.
Yeah.
He's responsive to that. And so, yeah, finding joy, I think.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
And I know that you can't speak on this, but as a mother, once you become a mom, your life becomes consumed, you know, with, mm-hmm. with raising your kids and the responsibility of it. And now we're a class of working mothers. And so you have a full-time job and you're a mom and you're a wife or partner and you're, you know, like the roles are so vast that it's real easy to get swept away in just losing yourself completely.
Yeah.
And I feel like I hear this, especially in my age group, you know, as you're starting to kind of come out of rearing your children in your 50s, women are suddenly like looking around going, I don't know what I like.
Yeah.
Right. And I don't want to go party in the bars necessarily every night. Like, that's not my vibe either. I don't, you know, coming back to, you know, whether you're just not in the party scene, you and I love to be in bed by 10 o'clock every night. Earlier, some most nights for me, like even if you go do something, you don't want to be out late. We want to go to bed early, mm-hmm. but then you're so desperate to find, reconnect to yourself. And I think
right.
that's a huge part of what's happening and what makes menopause so hard is you're going through this hormonal, this roller coaster, and then your kids leave.
Yeah.
That you've been totally consumed with.
Yeah.
And you're left with your hormonal self.
Yeah.
That you're like, who's this girl?
Yeah.
I don't know her.
Who's yeah.
this chick? You know, and reconnecting with not only we talk about our inner child a lot, but who she is now. Who's this girl?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've had to really look at that and be like, wow, who's this girl? My youngest, now my two bonus daughters have not graduated from high school yet. We still have a few years, but my biological youngest is done.
Yeah.
Right? Like I'm kind of through the parental, like, you know, parts. I mean, I'm definitely still a happy supporter of the other two, but they have two very involved, loving parents. I'm here to support that, but you know, it's
yeah.
not like that's not my job, right? My job is just to support them, not to parent them. And
right.
so now I'm sitting here like, wow, I've got extra time. No, I bought myself a farm.
Yeah.
And I want to start growing my own food and but I'm really leaning into all of that with my human design too. And Sarah has told me that I'm supposed to be building foundation, which, you know, as a Sagittarian, we typically want all things changing all the time.
Yeah.
And that never really resonated with me. I like adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I love adventure.
Yeah.
I love doing new things.
Yeah.
I don't really love change, as it turns out. And travel is some of that, you know, mm-hmm. especially when there's a lot of responsibility around it. I have a hard time. And she helped me with that. And now I understand myself a little better and I give myself a little more grace in those moments. But I'm supposed to be building foundation for myself and my family.
Yeah.
And that's what this farm stands for me, which
totally.
Is really exciting for
yeah.
me. It's going to be a ton of work, but I'm super excited about what it's going to be and how it's going to be and how it's going to impact not only my family, but our business and women at large and being able to come out there and just enjoy it.
Yeah.
So I'm excited
totally.
For that. Yeah.
There's something that is in my human design of like groups. I know we talked about it
yeah.
a few times,
yeah.
but it's interesting because collective joy is one of my greatest joys.
Yeah.
So I love being in a crowd of people who are going to a concert, going to a sporting event. Like, I might not even know that I've been to concerts before that I didn't know a single song.
Yeah.
I just went with my sister-in-law to one a couple months ago. And I maybe listened to one of her songs with my sister-in-law.
Right.
I had no idea. I was just like, yeah, please. And I was moved to tears. I made you listen to it afterwards.
Yes.
I was
yes.
moved to tears by her singing and then being around people who loved her music. So it gave me just like a contact joy high.
Yeah.
You know what
yeah.
I mean? I was like, this is so beautiful being around this. And I feel the same way with sports. Like, I don't love watching all sports, but I will go to any event surrounded a sport.
Yeah.
at all.
Yeah.
Because watching people be so excited for something they love, I breathe it. Like, I feel like I get so much energy and so much happiness from watching that unfold around me.
Yeah.
And I think the thing we love about human design and why we talk about it so much is that we're so similar in so many different ways, right? And there's so many things that are so different about us because our designs, although are the same at the top, cascade very differently, right?
Yes.
And it's interesting, like, you know, you want to build this foundation, you want these things, but we're both out here every 2 minutes with a new idea of how we can do something.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're both like ready to go.
Yeah. Always.
And do all this stuff.
Every day.
Totally.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
And I just think it's interesting how that manifests in things like joy and, like, you know, what paths we take.
Yeah. I'm finding joy in the same thing. I find joy in watching kids play.
Mm. Yeah.
Even if I don't know them. Right.
Yeah.
Children's life. No surprise that I was a pediatric nurse for 27 years. Right. Children in general just bring me a ton of joy.
Yeah.
Just watching them. Just being in their general presence makes me really joyful, especially when they're having a great time and they're just exploring their new world, and their little, you know, speech impediments when they're tiny that are normal. And I just love it. I just love their little hands and their little feet and all of them. I just absolutely adore all children and all looks and sizes and shapes and, you know, and I find the most joy in them.
Yeah.
All of them.
That's beautiful.
Absolutely all of them.
You don't know if I always feel the same way, but I feel that way about animals.
Yes. Yes. And see, I don't. And that's, I've always told Stan that.
Yeah.
I don't feel that way. I do love animals. And I don't kill spiders in my house. I try to save them and take them outside. You know, I try to be a good steward of the earth that way, but. I don't feel the same way. I mean, I love my doggie and I think, like, all of them are cute.
Your dog almost made me cry yesterday by just existing on that boat.
Yeah.
I just can't think of anything more wonderful in this whole world other than animals.
Yeah.
They just love you unconditionally. Yeah. Like, I'm so obsessed with my cats.
Yeah. Yeah.
So childless cat lady here. Yeah. Do not care. You know, like on an iPhone, like, you have, like, it recognizes people and you can favorite a person's face to have at the top. So you have a whole album. Well, I have two albums and one is my cat. The other one is my other cat. Because those are the thing that brings me joy the most.
Right.
Yeah. And I love looking at the little faces.
You took a ton of pictures of Leroy yesterday. You were so excited. Yeah, I feel, and I love that for you. I feel like all animals are, they see your energy, right?
Yeah.
And
remember that cat that went to that property?
That got in your car and wanted to come home with you? Uh-huh, yeah.
Don't try it in my car.
And he had an owner who was very surprised by his behavior, but he was going to come home with you.
Yeah, he was like, hey, I'm in your Jeep, dude.
Yeah, let's go. Climb back into your Jeep. Like, it was no problem. Devin does the same thing. Like, Devin and Chaz will go on a hike, and literally they'll have just hordes of animals, and an animal that needs help inevitably finds them.
Yeah.
I can't tell you how many hikes they've taken. And they're like, well, we rescued a baby duck that was lost, and we rescued a this or a rescue to that. And I'm like, how does this keep happening to you?
Yeah.
But really, I understand it energetically.
Yeah.
It happens to them because they're safe for all animals. And they seem to know that, you know, that they're not going to hurt them.
And I think that's another part of joy that we forget too. It's like, we're all connected in this lifetime. Like, it's everything is connected.
Yep.
And when you go walk outside or you're on water, you're doing these things, like, most of your body is water, right? The same things that create this earth create you. Yep. Like, I love looking at, like, those nature photos that, like, compare it to, like, the human body.
Yep.
Like, nervous system and how our nerves look in our body are the same things that mycelium networks look like.
Yep.
Like, it's just
the same on repeat.
Galaxies look like our eyes, right? Like, it's just, we're all the same. And I think something that I used to really hold back as like saying how I feel about anything. Like I would just want to protect myself so much. So I would not say my truth, or I would just like make myself small because I didn't want to make anyone else uncomfortable. Or, you know, I just thought I'm just going to keep this in and deal with it myself. And what I realized, and through like healing and nature and all these, like we're all connected. We're here for such a short time. To quote the Chainsmokers, what's the point of language if you can't say how you feel?
That's right. That's
you know, right. Yeah. Like, what's the point of being here if you can't express yourself?
Yeah.
I think so much joy is taken from us by wanting to be small, by being fearful of using our throat chakra, by being fearful of making someone else feel some sort of way by just speaking your truth.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's a hard lesson.
Yeah. And speaking your truth, even in a kind way, it doesn't have to hurt people.
No.
You can just speak your truth and be kind and gentle and loving about it. And still just, it's my truth. It doesn't have to. However it makes somebody else feel, that's their problem, right? That's not my responsibility, how it makes you feel. And obviously, you know, there's times that you share things and there's times that you don't, right?
Right.
Like we filter things all the time, but it's not always about us, you know?
Right.
But when it's, but what? Why are you choosing not to have that? Right. And
totally.
It does make you unjoyful, I think. When you filter too much and you're not. And then it shows up in however other many unhealthy choices that we're making.
Totally.
Because we're not able to express that. How much
better
I felt having difficult conversations after the end with my husband and coming to a mutual understanding, right? Of
how
we're both feeling. And I feel so much better and so much more connected after all of that. But it's hard in the moment.
Yeah.
But when you get to the other side of it, you feel so much better.
Yeah.
I feel released, you know?
Doing the hard things always give me the most release, I feel like.
Agreed.
It's the sitting in limbo of indecision and inaction that I feel like can just drain it from you.
Yeah.
And once you're able to give your voice to it, and, you know, I'll never forget starting working at the last place I worked in the corporate setting. It was a startup and everyone had the same reaction about me, which is, who the fuck is she? And people genuinely did not like me because they thought I was so fake because I was in a good mood every day. They were like, she's too much. And then I think over time, when you just, I'm going to be the same every day, like it or not.
Right.
People realize like, oh, that's just like
who she is.
Like it's fine. It's not a big deal. But I find it interesting that people are so suspicious of people who have joy in the everyday and people who choose joy. I think, I don't know who said it or where I read it. So I hate that I can't give credit, but they said how you feel is just a room in a house you choose to be in.
Yep.
And I thought, oh my God, we all have a house of emotions and each room has its own emotion. And you get to choose which room you stand in all day.
Right.
And I'm not saying it's easy. I'm definitely not. And of course, there's horrible, heavy things that happen that cause you to bunker down in a room. I'm not saying that can't happen. But for the most part, it's your house.
Right.
If you don't like the mood that you're in, just change rooms.
Right. And sometimes that can be going for a walk out in nature, changing your environment, changing your clothes, right? Like sometimes you just need that physical change in order to help you shift that mental change because it is just an emotion, right? And so you can say, well, somebody made me mad or somebody made me this or made me that. Nope.
Yeah.
Nobody can make you feel anything. You
totally.
Can be triggered by somebody else's behavior or statements or words. But how you are arriving is you.
Totally.
A choice you get to make. A choice that you get to decide whether how you did all of that and how you perceive whatever somebody said or, you know, or if you do have triggered by something, wow, I'm curious. Why would I be triggered by that? That's
interesting
that I'm having that emotion and watching it and let it be and not react and not respond, you know. Those are all choices that we get to make in this world. And I think that it's hard, you know, it's hard for a lot of people just to not be in that space, you know, right. and feel victimized in some ways. And I think it's even more prevalent with women, you know, we're such a ball of emotion. Everything's an emotion. So yeah. It's hard to, I think that's a unique gift for a woman. I think, and especially that's probably what that people are saying about you is that, you know, we are emotional beings. So it's hard to be like, somebody cut me off on the freeway today.
Yeah.
And not to have that ruin your morning.
Yeah.
Right. And because that emotion shows up and then it just gets you into this emotional frenzy.
Yeah.
You have a really natural ability to be like,
No big deal. One might say I take it a little too far on occasion, but I do just believe, I cannot stress this enough. We only get such a short amount of time to experience life. Like I just always think about that when I'm feeling my worst, is that I don't want to waste time.
Yeah.
And I remember calling your husband, my brother, two birthdays ago, just like I was so emotional. It was my first sober birthday. I thought, I'm so mad at myself for wasting time because I was blacking out a lot, right? Just the wasting the time and sitting in dark, dingy places. Like I just felt like so sorrowful of not spending time doing things that brought me joy and masquerading that as happiness and fun and all these things. And it just wasn't. And I was like really, really upset about that. And I remember the next day saying, okay, I was able to mourn that. I was able to feel sad about that. And like now today is like a whole new day. And no matter how hard things get in life, like I'm not going to waste time.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it.
I think that's beautiful.
Yeah.
I think it goes by fast. I'll tell you that. It's a 53-year-old, soon to 52, soon to be 53-year-old. It goes really fast. And these seasons that you think you're in that are going to last forever aren't long. And you're like, yeah. Wow, you know?
Yeah.
My youngest bonus daughter, her birthday is December this year, and she will be 15. This birthday will mark that I have been in her life longer than I haven't. So I've known her for 8. I met her when she was 7.
Yeah.
So now that's a big deal. And it's weird that I think of things like that. I think maybe, but I'm like, now I've been in her life longer than I haven't.
Right.
And that's cool.
So yeah.
I think that's really exciting. And she kind of, as a true teenager, kind of was like, yeah, whatever. Weird. Rolling her eyes at me. But that's a big deal to me.
Yeah.
You know? And I'm like, what a landmark. But it also feels like it was yesterday.
Yeah.
That we got together, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just seems like it was not that long ago.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, we're at the 8-year mark, you know?
And yeah.
It's insane to me in a lot of ways. So it goes by just really, really fast. And I know these next few years with her for high school will go really fast. And then we will truly be empty nesters. And,
yeah.
You know, and that's a whole nother shift in paradigm and what you're doing. And we have a giant family between all of us. You know that the farm, I think, is going to be a place where everybody lands and comes, and probably a place that we help, you know, usher our parents into their sort of elder years. And when they need the help, you know, mm-hmm. It might be a space that they land, and it's going to be a place of community in so many ways.
Yeah.
And I'm so excited about that. And that genuinely brings me a lot of joy. And I'm somebody who will put my joy, my needs and joys, things that bring me joy off. If I feel like it historically, if it's been off-putting to somebody in my group, right? Like, or it's inconvenient and I'm sure there's lots of women out there that can identify with this, that you just, again, just, it's a version of making yourself small.
Yeah.
And it'll be something simple as planning a vacation. And then somebody says they don't want to do that or they don't like it, but you were so excited about it.
Mm-hmm.
And you immediately cave.
Yeah.
Right. Totally. Because you don't want to put anybody out, but you would have totally bore an activity that somebody else was super excited about to support their joy.
Totally.
As a parent, as a spouse, as a friend, you would be like, okay, this isn't really my cup of tea. Possibly your friend at the rave, right? You had a great time.
Yeah.
They were there, but maybe didn't have the same.
Right.
But they wanted to experience that with you, right? So I think that's that dynamic change in my brain is that I'm not giving them an opportunity to support me.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would get really resentful that I'm not getting any of the things that I want.
Right.
But it wasn't anybody's fault.
Yeah.
I was relinquishing it immediately if I felt like everybody wasn't on board.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And in a family dynamic, I get to have mine too.
Right.
Right. Like it's okay to take up space. It's okay to to have people show up, even if they don't really want to. And that was part of this getting the farm.
Mm-hmm.
I don't love living in suburbia. I never did. And right. I made that very clear when we moved there. It was necessary for schools and all the things that we needed at the time. But I wasn't loving it.
Yeah.
And we got pushback immediately from the children, at least one of them for sure. The other one was indifferent, and the other one was, the youngest is very excited. But also from my husband, I was like,
Yeah.
Still to today, he has moments of wishy-washy, right? Where,
yeah.
You know, we have this beautiful nature preserve behind our current house, and it's got all these walkable trails. It's really convenient to us to walk the dog. And, you know, and then Kirsten's been going out there and running at night because she's doing cross country. So she's getting her runs in. And the old Christy would have been like, oh, maybe we made a mistake, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But I'm like, no. Well, she's the one that loves this, and she can go run on our land. We have 5 acres. She can run for days.
Yeah.
We're going to have loops through there. We're going to have trails. She can go out and trail run.
Yeah. Fine.
And the dog doesn't need walked if he's got 5 acres to run.
Exactly.
I don't need to go walk him because he's been cooped up all day. He's been outside running all day.
Right.
Right. Yeah. It's just this mental paradigm shift of like living in a space like that versus living in the country. These two things are not the same.
I think it also comes down to anticipating needs of others as women,
yeah.
Like, because we are always constantly thinking ahead and maybe not about ourselves. We're like anticipating what the other person or people around us need. So we're like, well, gosh, maybe I did make a mistake because what if she can't do this? Or what if this happens? And it's like, why am I anticipating their need from this change when they'll figure it out?
Yeah.
But they'll figure it out.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing with most people is you don't need to be responsible for them figuring it out.
Yeah.
And it's easy to center yourself sometimes in someone else's life to say, like, I'm going to figure this out for you.
Yeah.
It never ends well.
Yeah.
It never ends well when you are the one that's helping someone figure something out and helping them adjust to a change.
Right.
Like, of course, you can be sympathetic and empathetic and helpful, but like when you try to take control over that.
Oh. Or make yourself just so small in that moment to make them happy. It just doesn't end well. And I feel resentful. That's my telltale sign, right? If I'm feeling resentful, then I know that I'm not doing enough for myself.
Right.
Whatever that is. I'm not putting my own mask on. I'm not finding my joy. And, you know, that's part of why you and I are doing this,
mm-hmm.
right? Is I desperately want sisterhood.
Yeah.
I want groups of women around me that inspire me, that I find things about them that are absolutely inspiring and joyful. And I want to dance.
Yeah.
I don't want to go clubbing anymore. But I still love to dance.
Yeah.
And that brings me a ton of joy.
Yeah.
And watching other people dance, mm-hmm. and being in that kind of group and sisterhood, like, I am so excited about what this is bringing to our lives that it's really, really cool.
Yeah.
I love the conversations we have. It's something that I deeply need for myself, that my husband can't always fill that void. It's not how they're geared. And definitely he's a manifestor. It's definitely not how he's geared. So just recognizing that, you know, your spouse can't be everything for you.
Yeah.
And we do live sometimes in these silos. And as you get older, and I know that we've had conversations about people want us to do a solo podcast about friendships ending. And, you know, so it comes with, as you age, right? And you move into different chapters of your life. And when you're doing work on yourself and getting yourself into a different state of mind, and you tend to shed friends too. And I just found myself in a place where I'm like, wow, I don't, you know, I've kind of isolated myself so much that I don't really have a lot of friends. And so this is a whole new chapter for me of surrounding myself with positive, like-minded women that are just, you know, here that are going through the same struggles, but also deeply committed to us, the cause, the earth,
yeah,
sisterhood, self-improvement, you know, just we're on the same sort of spiritual path. And
yeah,
and I guess spiritual sisterhood is really what I'm looking for, you know.
Totally.
Just people really there for you and willing to be in the trenches when they need to, but also really sharing in the triumphs and the, you know, like I sometimes you find you have friends that you can't celebrate with.
Oh yeah,
right. Like I found like I couldn't say too much to certain people because it would be really judged, and it would they weren't celebrating.
Yeah, you know?
it was a tear down in some way, and or you feel like you can't share it because of the status they're in, or that they're too fragile, or
it's really hard to have people around you that are in that Eeyore state of like, well, good for you. Glad you're having a good time. I'm over here struggling. You know what I mean? It's just, it's really, really difficult to do that. And I think that's what causes that natural shedding. Because when you're so focused on just making sure that you're the best version of you, and you just want to work on that, and you want to make sure that you bring joy to whoever you're around, when you find someone struggling so hard, at first, I think it's, I know we're both this way. It's not that I think. Our first instinct is, let me help you out of this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But after a while,
yeah,
if they're not willing to do their own work, you can't help someone out of anything.
Right.
They have to do it for themselves. And they have to want to
for sure
shed that identity of like being the Debbie Downer, right? Like you have to want to get rid of that. Otherwise, no one, they're just going to annoy you. I mean, we would annoy them at a certain point because we're not going to sit there in that.
And I think it's energetic. You know, we talk about energetics a lot, especially me. I believe that, right? That we have a frequency. And as you're kind of elevating your frequency, if somebody is on a lower frequency, there's nothing wrong with that. I was also at a lower frequency. I'm not judging that. But it's hard for you to hang out still and feel good with people who are still in that lower vibration.
Totally.
Because they attract that lower vibration energy, and it's really hard to then hang out with them because you're like, ooh, right? Like it's an energetic drain. It takes a lot to stay in that space with people. And typically they don't feel good either,
right?
When that separation happens. And I think that's what most marriages and friendships, that's ends up what happening. It's about growth. And if somebody grows and somebody doesn't, there's going to be a natural shedding in that relationship, for whether it's intentional or not, whether you choose to, or whether it just, you kind of just separate because we're not really on the same path anymore. We're not really doing the same things.
Right.
You could say that about your sobriety, right? When I started to stop drinking, you could have very easily, and a lot of people do, and it's recommended for some, choose not to hang out with people who are drinking.
Oh,
you can't
yeah.
be around it, right?
Totally.
You have to completely separate yourself from
yeah.
that. And so you're going to lose relationships in that instance mm-hmm. because that's a vibrational separation.
Yeah.
And this is a proven science, by the way. This isn't woo-woo stuff. Is that they can test the vibrational frequencies of a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And including you, when you take these things and alcohol, drugs, and all these other things, it lowers your vibration almost immediately.
Yeah.
The hurts that you're putting out of your body changes.
Yeah.
On these substances, right? And so it's... And you can continue through mindfulness to raise your vibration. And I think that's part of what we're doing and finding things that bring us joy. I mean, I find immense joy in hanging around with my children, watching my grandkids, having relationships with them, watching food grow.
Yeah.
Brings me joy, right?
Yeah.
When you grow those mushrooms, you're so excited. It's the little things that I get real excited when I learn something new. I love learning new things. That brings me a ton of joy. It brings me a ton of joy when I've created something and can see my creation come to fruition. So watching my creativity kind of come to full light and then step back and go, oh,
yeah,
this feels great.
Yeah.
I love this. Right.
Yeah.
That brings me a ton of joy. Just creating pretty things. I just love that. Pretty spaces. I just dancing always. Always dancing, always music, brings me a ton of joy. Yeah.
Another thing that makes me so happy is watching people do the thing that they're like really passionate about. So that's why I love watching Drag Race. Like watching these queens like do makeup in a way that I will never, ever be able to accomplish. And just like, they're so talented and they're so passionate about that. And there's this show, I think it's on Netflix, called Blown Away. And it's when glass blowers compete.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's like these, I don't love like reality TV, like sorry for the Housewives fans out there, but watching people do the thing they love like yes. that is a whole different vibe for me because, and it also makes me incredibly emotional. Like when people go home or like don't win, I am a mess.
You're devastated for them.
I am a mess because I'm just like watching someone's dreams get pulled from them, even though almost always it's the beginning of their whole career.
Correct.
Always.
Yeah.
But watching it happen, I have never cried as hard as I've cried watching Drag Race ever because you just see it on their face. And then the thing they've worked so hard for is just, oh. So, but the point of all of this is watching someone really be in their element is attractive to me. Yeah. It's beautiful. It's energetically just like, I'm so proud of you. I don't know you, but I'm so proud of you for doing this.
Yeah.
And RuPaul always says at the end of the show, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can I get an amen? He says that every single episode. And you listen to that enough. If you're me, you binge watch 10 seasons in the last year. And you watch it enough and you hear that enough. And then you just let that sink into your psyche of like, oh my God, if you don't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Like that's such a sincere and true sentiment. And you have these people competing in something they love and they're passionate about, but they're only going to get all the way to the top. They're only going to win this competition.
Yeah.
If they truly love themselves and are a lot, he calls it your inner saboteur, like not letting your inner saboteur convince you that you're not worthy, right? Like it's not about your competitors.
Mm-mm. No, you're what your worst you? Enemy.
Yeah. What are you doing for you to make sure that you're not going to yourself?
Yeah. What are you saying?
100%.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And those are some really great lessons and some.
That would be a great t-shirt.
Yeah.
That quote. That would be
from cool. Mama Ru.
Yeah. Mama Ru. You can't love yourself. How can you possibly love anybody else? Can you get an amen?
Yes. Sister. Truly.
That is a that is a spot to end on right there. Right? I think for all of us women, you know, surround yourself with people who bring you joy. Surround yourself with people who absolutely cheer you on no matter what. No matter what's going on in their personal life, they're always happy for you. And Amanda Riley is one of those people for me.
You're one of those people for me. Look at that. And I will say too, life is so short.
Yeah.
Life is so short to not find joy in a cup of coffee in the morning.
Yes.
To find joy in seeing a new flower pop up in your garden. Like it's just too short to be so distracted with the makeup stuff that we all do. Like 90% of what we see and what's around us, we've just made up.
Yep.
The stressors, we just make that shit up.
Yep.
And that's why touch grass is such a powerful phrase. Like, go outside.
Yeah.
If you're seriously this worked up about stuff that doesn't even matter, go outside. Barefoot. Go for a walk.
Go put your feet on grass.
Literally.
In your bare feet.
Yeah.
And take 10 breaths.
Yeah.
It will change your world.
Go be on water. Yeah. Sit next to water.
Yeah.
There's
watch
so
Amanda
much.
Amanda Riley swim yesterday for the first time in a while. Brought me so much joy. Mm-hmm. No, it was great. You did great. You were afraid of it. You weren't sure. And you did it. And I was so proud of you. We're talking about things that bring me joy. That brought me a ton of joy yesterday.
I just didn't know if I remembered how to swim. That's all. I just didn't
and
know.
You did. You did.
I doggy paddled so well.
You saved yourself.
I did some frog strokes.
You did. You got away from the boat and back to the boat unassisted. That's swimming in 25 foot waters.
But then I said to you, I remember how to swim. And I said, oh my God, maybe you don't. And I panicked and I swam back, but I didn't. So
I did do it. And it was so cute. And it brought me a ton of joy. I loved it so much. I'm like, here she is doing things that she could have sat there on that side of the boat and been hot and been scared, but she did it. And I appreciated that.
I could use a healthy dose of fear sometimes, but I will say this one last time. I always go back to, you just don't know. You just don't know how much time you have, and doing things that maybe are scary, or maybe you just don't know the outcome.
Yeah. Do it.
Except you don't drown, you know, but point is, you just, sometimes you have to be uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You have to step into things that you're not sure about. You have to express yourself of things you're not sure about, and you're allowed to change. That's another huge thing I want to say, is you're allowed to make a different choice. You're allowed to change. You're allowed to say, like, this is no longer serving me. I will say it over and over and over, but ending that phase of drinking and thinking about my identity as someone who likes to be a party girl, like to do those things, it took me about a year, but it came right back around. I was like, I'm still the same person. Like, I changed the behavior, but I didn't change who I was.
Right.
So don't be afraid to change your behavior because you're scared of what that will mean for your identity. More than likely, the core of that thing is who you are and will stay with you.
You were actually doing the opposite. You were embracing who you were.
Totally. Yeah.
Where the alcohol is taking you away from really who you were. I mean, that's a mic drop right there.
Yeah.
Boom.
All right. Well, thanks for listening to our solo episode today.
Yes. Do things that make you joyful today and every day.
Yeah.
Pick one thing. You know, if this is something that you don't do very often for yourself, pick one thing that you can really hone in on that makes you joyful and do that thing first thing in the morning.
And this community is here to help you find joy too. So when we are hosting our events, when we're doing these things, you know, we might say, like, all right, we're ending with a dance party. And at first, the first three times you come to an event, you might say, oh, I'm too scared to dance in front of strangers sober. You might feel that way. But I promise you, we will wear you down. You will eventually do a little shoulder move if you have to.
You can shimmy, you know? You don't have to full on dance.
But you will, because that is our ultimate goal, is bringing women together in a place of joy. Yeah. So
we're meant to commune, we're meant to storytell, and we're meant to dance.
Dance.
Dance, dance, dance.
I wish Just Dance by Lady Gaga was not copyrighted so we could play it at the end of this episode.
That would be amazing.
Just channel your inner Gaga and just know that we are saying Just Dance.
Have a great week, y'all.
All right. Make sure you give us a follow on Spotify. Share this episode if it resonates with you. And we'll see you soon.
Bye.